Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
You know, tonight I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm going to read another scripture first that we'll have up on the screen before we read 1 Samuel. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this concept in my own personal life, how our life, this life that we're living in, right, is not a sprint. Now, let me just ask a question tonight. Is there anybody here in the room that is under 30 years old? If you are under 30, would you please stand? If you're under 30, please stand to your feet. All right, come on. Let's give these guys a big hand. God bless you guys. Amen. You may be seated. You're in the right place. Now, if we get much older than that and we have people stand, I'm going to get in trouble. Right? So I won't have you stand. But let's do this. Let's say you're between 30 and 50. Let me see your hands. You're between 30 and 50. Okay? And we're just going to stop at 50. We're not going to go any older. We're not going to make any other designations. How many are over 50? 50 or over. Come on. 50 or over. Look at that. One of the things that you learn when you get a little bit older is that although there are important things in life we need to learn, there's nothing that we cannot recover from. Sometimes when we're young, we don't recognize that, right? And sometimes we get into this habit where we don't give our lives to the Lord. We don't surrender to the Lord. We don't really yield to Him. We're trying to. We know we should, right? And then we pick up scars that we carry. And then those scars end up affecting how we make our decisions in the future. And then they kind of produce after their kind, right? So we made some mistakes, and then those mistakes are a part of us. And then because we haven't really dealt with it, we don't really bring it to the Lord. We don't really surrender it to God. Then it kind of comes up again, or it produces other problems, right? And over a period of time, you can kind of develop a losing life, where you lose. And I don't believe that. We're not talking about success here. We're not talking about financial success. How many know that you can have financial success but have a losing life? The worst loss that you could ever have in your life is to be deprived of the words when you get to heaven, "Well done, good and faithful servant." To miss out on those words, to be deprived of those words would be a great, great cost to you. But I want to encourage you with this tonight, that wherever you're at, if you will hear the voice of the Lord, you can partner with God. If you've had a catastrophe in your life, you can partner with God, right? If you've had some losses in your life, you can partner with God. Those losses aren't forever, right? They're not forever. And that God has given you people, you may not know it, but He's bringing people into your life who are going to help you not succumb to the temptation. Not succumb to the temptation. Amen. You know, when I was in Bible school, I told the story about how I got kicked out of Bible school for breaking curfew. And some of you heard me tell that story. I went to quite a legalistic Bible school. But I got kicked out for breaking curfew. And a part of the story that I've never told, and probably shouldn't tell now, but it was so long ago, what are you going to do about it? I mean, you know, I was 19, 20 years old. Amen. And I got kicked out of Bible school, broke up with my girlfriend. All this stuff happened all at once. Now, mind you, I am a year and a half, maybe 2 years away from being a drug addict, an alcoholic, right? I mean, I'm now sober for 2 years, and I'm in Bible school, and, you know, I didn't know I was called to the ministry at this point. The Lord just told me to go to Bible school, so I'm at Bible school, and it was while at Bible school that I got called to the ministry. But before any of that happened, I got kicked out after a semester and a half for not respecting the curfew, right? And I was devastated. And I moved in, two guys we got kicked out with, I moved in with him in an apartment in South Dallas, in the middle of pretty much the ghetto, right? All this stuff around me, and I literally am crying myself to sleep every single night. And I'm like, because I'd been losing for so long. How many know what I'm talking about? And I had this short winning streak. And now I'm kicked out of Bible school and I'm losing again. And I start hearing all the voices and all the pullings. My friend Gary Wayne got a job driving for Reunion Arena, which is where the Dallas Mavericks used to play. I don't know if they still play there. But there was a hotel, and he got to drive. He drove a limo. He was in charge of the limo. So he would pick up John McEnroe. He would pick up rock stars. He'd pick up all these people. And then when he'd have to clean the limo, he would come pick me up. And we would, you know, we'd go cruise the Bible school campus in the limo. See some friends on the side, roll the window down. Hey, how's it going? I thought you guys were kicked out. Yeah, but life is still going good for us, huh? We're in the limo. Hey. Hey, my life's not a mess, you know? That's a true story. And they would look at us, Dave, what are you doing? You want to go for a ride in there? And we were innocent. But one day, Gary came home, and there was this alcohol that was left in the limo. Well, I'm not in a good place. And I'm feeling so bad, I was just like, let's do it. And we drank. And I got drunk. And I woke up I'm 19 years old. I woke up at 3:00 in the morning, still kind of drunk, and the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know if you've ever been drunk with the Holy Spirit in your life, but it is not fun. I'm just telling you, it is not a party. It is not fun. And I said, oh God. Oh, God, I'll never do that again. I am so sorry. And the voices got louder. 1 week later, the exact same thing happened. And I did it again. I'm in this free fall, and I get up. And what I didn't realize was happening, but can I be honest with you? Because I let go the first time, it was easier to let go the second time. And I'm like, you know, I'm supposed to be going to Bible school. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, but it's more than being a drunk. I've been delivered from this. And a friend came into my life, and I told them what I had done. And they said, David Whaley, that is not who you are. And through prayer and through accountability, one day, I can't explain, this darkness had moved in on my life. It was blocking how I felt. It was blocking what I saw. I was removed from most of my strong Christian friends. I was out of my normal cycle that I was in. I'm now working full-time at another job. And the only thing I did right during that whole time was while I was trying to walk with God, I kept going to church. I went to church every Sunday. Even after I got drunk, I went to church. And one day out of the blue, and now I know what it was. It was a big demonic spirit that was on me. It was darkness trying to take me back, right? I'm glad I didn't stay there, right? And not only that, I'm in the worst atmosphere. I'm in the middle of the worst atmosphere you can possibly imagine in South Dallas. And not protected on a nice Bible school campus, right? It was happening right in our compound where we lived. And I got a tape from a friend. His name was Larry Firkin. And I don't know what was on that tape, but there was an anointing on that tape. And I just sat down and I listened to my friend as he was telling me what was going on in his life. And when I got done listening to that tape, whatever was in my life had left my life, and I didn't even know it. It had gone out the door. And the Lord said, David, what are you doing? I said, Lord, I've made a mess of things. And he gave me the scripture out of Psalm 119. He said, it says, I considered my ways. I looked at the path I was on, and I turned my feet towards your commandments. And I remember God called me to Bible school. I'm the dummy who got kicked out, but God called me to Bible school. So I went back to the Bible school instructor, and I said, I want to reapply for summer semester. I was kicked out in March. I want to reapply for summer semester. It starts at the end of June. You know, we have a year policy, Dave. Can't let you back in for another year. I said, I know. So why are you here? I think you should let me in. God sent me to Bible school, and I'm supposed to be there. I'm not supposed to be out here. I'm supposed to be in there. I'm supposed to be in Bible school. And he said, well, we're going to pray about it. What are you going to do if we don't let you back in? I said, then I'll be back in January. I'll be back in September. What are you going to do if you don't let us back in? If we don't let you back in then I'll be back in January semester. And he smiled. I got a note that they let me back in. And the rest was history. And oh, man, did I get so much out of Bible school. It was within 6 months out of there, I got called. And, you know, I saw these little attitudes and these little things that had been around me that I didn't really see before. But now that I've been broken, and now that I've gone through discipline, now that I stayed with God in the middle of my mistake and walked out the other side, I could see all the little things that were bad attitudes that I had that God was delivering me from. Amen. Isn't that amazing? I want you to look at this scripture. And this is kind of directed to the young tonight because you're starting your journey. And it's interesting that so many of you are here because I felt specifically to talk to you. But I want you to look up on the screen, and I'm going to read to you out of this very special portion of scripture, Hebrews 12, out of the Passion Translation. It says, as for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion. You know, in a 100-yard dash, if you fall down, you're screwed, buddy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can finish your race, but I mean, you're not going to win your race. You're not going to win it because you only got 100 yards. But in a marathon, you can fall down and get back up. And this life that God has called us to serve him in is not an event. Amen? I know you lost the relationship. I know they treated you badly. I know it's not fair. I know you're disappointed in yourself that you maybe didn't finish school or you don't like things that are going on in your life. But I want you to know that it's not too late. You don't have to lose in life. You can lose but not be a loser. You can have losses, but not be a failure. You can have setbacks, but overcome every single one of them. Because God is on your side, my family. And the Bible goes on to say, it says, we'll be able to run with passion and determination the path that has been already marked out before us. Verse 2, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze on Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, right? So that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. After all, you've not yet reached to the point of sweating blood in your opposition to sin. And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, my child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord God or get displeased when he has to correct you. Sometimes we can't go forward in life, right? Because God's waiting to fix something in our hearts because he's got a great reward in the next season. But you won't be able to get it if you don't submit to his correction. Yeah. these mistakes that you keep making, you're in this season so you can learn how to overcome them. And that means God has a couple things he's going to give you. I'm going to talk to him about you tonight, about him tonight. I'm going to talk to you about living a victorious life, not just a victorious moment. Anybody can have a good season. Amen. Anybody can have a good start. Amen. Anybody can get going, but it takes something to live. And that's why I'm following those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, people who have been serving God a long time have going for them. They're old. No, that's not it. Amen. What people who have been serving God a long time have been going for them. What you don't understand is you have a lot more in common with us than you think you do. Actually, we have a lot more in common with you. Because we've been where you are and we didn't quit. And it's so easy to believe that our path is harder than anybody else's path. It's so easy to believe that the path that we're on, that our parents didn't have it, that people who love God didn't have it, right? That it was easier. And maybe in some ways other generations were easier. But the bottom line is God wants to forge a relationship with you. God wants you to give him your heart. And then God wants to mold your heart so that you can have the life that you were born to live. A life that will bring peace. A life that will bring satisfaction. A life that will bring joy more than any new boyfriend. Come on. More than any new girlfriend. Good preaching, Pastor Dave. More than any of it. Tonight I want to talk to you about keeping your heart after God. I'm going to start that tonight. We're going to be talking about this week, probably next week. Keeping your heart after God, or what I call it, a heart of a winner. What is a heart of a winner? A heart of a winner is a heart after God. It's a heart after God. And I want to tell you about a story of a young man. His name is David. We're going to read his story in just a moment. But from history, history tells us some stuff. You know, there's some extra biblical history. It's not in the Bible, but there are history books that tell us the same stories that were in the Bible. And in the Mishnah, which is the Jewish oral tradition of the scriptures, it tells other facts about David, other stories about David that did not make it into the canon of scriptures, but are the story of those that were handed down in the rabbinical, right, in the rabbinical tradition. And these are the stories. And the Bible tells us that David was very interesting and that he was a rejected child. That he was rejected by his father, right? And that there was a relationship problem with his family. Now, all the Bible says about it is this story I'm about to tell you. As, you know, we show up, David shows up, and his brothers have got an attitude with him. And the prophet calls for all of his sons to be brought in, but the father doesn't call David. Right? And then David writes in the Psalms, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And the Mishnah tells us that Jesse doubted that David was his son. He doubted that he would, maybe it was his red hair. Maybe it was something else. Now, Jesse was wrong. He was Jesse's son. His mother had not been unfaithful, but she was banished as one who had been unfaithful. That even his brothers despised her. This family secret was known in the house. And David went out in the fields and was a shepherd for his family. Did you know in that time in history that Jewish boys were not shepherds for their fathers? That was the job of the servants. Jesse was a very well-to-do leader and a very well-to-do man in his community. He had servants, but it wasn't his servant out risking his life for the sheep. It was his son. You talk about it in a bad place. You talk about having a right to be bitter. having, you know, you talk about having a bad start, right? So the prophet Samuel comes to town because there's going to be a new king. And he says to Jesse, bring all your sons out. And he brought all the sons out. And he goes to each one, right? Look at 1 Samuel verse 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance. This was the first son he came to. Or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God saw something that David's brothers didn't see. God saw something that David's fathers didn't see, right? God picked David because somehow, instead of getting bitter, David came to his God and worshiped his God in the field. Many of the Psalms that we have written in the scriptures are the Psalms of David that he penned while he was a boy, many of them. In the field while watching his father's sheep. David learned to be faithful over little out there. You know, David was so good. A lot of the story of David and Goliath is a little bit misunderstood because we make it seem like the miracle was the fact that this big giant lost to little David. But the truth of the matter is, it's a story that revealed David's faithfulness. Because the giant, as you remember, Goliath, he had a spear that weighed hundreds of pounds. Think about this. He was weighed down with metal, and he was the superior warrior. And David comes out with a slingshot, the weapon of a shepherd. Right? The weapon of a shepherd. And he gives all the glory. He gives all the glory to God, doesn't he? He gives all the glory. David says, hey, you come to me with sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. But what David didn't say, because he was a humble man, is you know what David did while he was in the field? He practiced with the sling. He practiced with a sling. And it is said of medieval slingers, they were part of the armies in those days, that a good slinger could hit a sparrow at 200 yards. When it came out of a sling, when they practiced, it was like a bullet out of a small caliber gun. And so honestly, if you really understood what this is showing, David's victory over Goliath showed that when nobody cared what David was being faithful with what God had given him. David was faithful over little. That's why God made him ruler over much. A lot of times, we want God to bless us on our intentions. We don't want to be faithful. We're like, I could see myself doing my boss's job. I know I could do it, but we can't do the job we got. We can't be faithful, right? We're not faithful. And what we don't recognize is, my family, if you're going to win in life, young people, write this down. The life that leads to victory is not what is next for you. It starts right now in the dysfunction of what you hate about your life. It starts right now with the life you have. If God were to change the life you have to give you the life you want, you would pollute it. You know why the grass is never greener? Because it only looks greener from your side. When you're in charge of taking care of it, you're going to do the same thing to that new lawn you did to that old lawn. Because you got to let God change you on the journey. And he starts with what you have, and he says, I love you dearly. Come on, let me work with you. Let me help you, because I'm going to build some spiritual muscles in you. I know this is hard, but you got to go through some tough times, and I'm not going to promote you right away, but I want to teach you to be faithful where you're at. Be faithful. Do it for me. Do it under me. Do it with the right heart. Keep your heart right. Don't get bitter. Get bitter. Better. Amen. Don't get angry. Don't leave. Don't take it back into your hands. Come on. The palace that you're heading towards, whatever that is, right, starts in the pit you are in today. That's where it starts. It starts today. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. You're not going to stay in the valley forever. I got good news for you. You're not going to stay down forever. You cannot stay down forever if you serve God. You cannot stay down forever if you serve God. But I'm talking to somebody tonight that needs to recognize that the victory that you're seeking happens by you going back into the life that you have and making it the best you can and doing the best with what God has given you. And you get yourself a coach, right, who'll say, is that your best? No, it's not my best. Go back and do it again. And do your best, because it's worth it. Because every attitude is a seed for the future. Every good word is a seed for the future. Every time you do it right, it's a seed. And you're not going to stay where you're at. You're going to be promoted. You're going to be promoted. You enjoying this tonight? David got picked by God because he had a heart after God. He had the heart of a winner. And you know what he did? He made some mistakes. Maybe in this series we'll talk about those mistakes. He recovered from those mistakes, but he never lost his heart after God. He never lost it. And that's why David is one of the heroes in the from the Old Testament that we look to, right? Folks, I want you to know something. In life, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be challenges. Pastor, why are there challenges in life? I think there's three main reasons why there's challenges in life. Number one, sometimes we get challenged because we have really high goals. We want the best, right? Well, if you want the best, you got to be the best. And you can't be the best in a moment. You can't be the best in a second. You can't be the best the first time around, right? Sometimes your goals produce pressure on your life. They produce pressure on your life because you have to go after it, right? You have to go after it. Amen. Number two, because of our visions and dreams, it's hard. Number two, there's a curse in the earth, right? There's a curse in the earth, and the curse is still in the earth. And that's why we have all this messed upness. And sometimes that curse in the earth can get over and rain on your parade. Can mess up your world and cause problems for you, cause a challenge for you, right? The third reason why I think we have struggles in life is because there's a thief in the earth. John 10:10, I don't know if we have it on the screen, but John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil comes. He comes to do that. When bad stuff happens, it isn't God doing it. It's the devil. Paul called him the small g, God of this world. The small theos of this world. Little g. Not big g, little g. And he's not talking about the physical earth, but this world system that is running the earth where horrible things happen. Right? So this is part of the reason why there's trouble in the earth. But whatever the reason your problem comes, whatever it is, here's what I want you to understand. Write this down. Your heart decides the outcome, not the problem. Your heart. What you allowed God to put in you in secret decides the outcome. No matter how it feels. It's your heart that decides the outcome. Proverbs 18:14. Turn there with me. Proverbs 18:14. The Bible says, look at this. The heart of a man or the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. I love that. Will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? Your heart is a combination of your spirit man that's been renewed by God and your renewed mind. That's your heart. And I like to say it like this. Your heart is like the black box on the plane. How many know when the plane goes down and everything can be broken, but they can still find the black box? And on the plane, the black box can't bring the plane back. It can only tell you what went wrong. But your black box, your spirit man, if your spirit is healthy, it not only can tell you where the broken plane is, it can heal the plane. It can heal your life. Your heart. And that sickness you feel is not in your heart. It's in your emotions. It's in your soul. You know, have you ever had something happen to you that you just cried till you couldn't cry no more? Have you ever had that kind of sorrow? That's your soul. That's not necessarily your heart. But there's a heart within you, and that is your God connection. The heart I'm talking about, the spirit that sustains you in a sickness, is a spirit that is after God. A spirit that is set on pleasing God, that is set on honoring God, that is set on finishing strong. And God will give that heart to whoever asks for that heart. God will give that heart to whoever asks for that heart. And whatever the reason your challenge came to you in life, it is your heart that decides whether you will overcome or be overcome. Did you know the heart actually decides how you look at things? Your heart decides how you look at things. It's interesting. The thieves on the cross, we have the story in the Bible of two thieves crucified, one on the left and one on the right. Remember? And they saw what was happening in two different ways. One said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get us down from here? And the other one said, have you no fear of God? Have you no respect? Don't you see that we are guilty and that we have sinned and this is a just man? How can you not have fear of God in this moment? He turned to Jesus and said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Your heart determines how you see things. So when the world feels like it's over, you got to dig down deep into your heart where you know it's not over, that God forgives, that you can get back up, that you have another opportunity, that it's not too late to win. Can you say amen to that? You can have a heart after God. And those are the people I respect. It's people who have had a heart after God decade after decade, and those are the ones I'm following. Those are the people I want to run with. Those are the people I want to follow. Your heart decides whether you're going to overcome or be overcome. Do you want another scripture on that? Write this down. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We'll close with this scripture. Has this encouraged you tonight? Listen to what it says, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart before your eyes. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 27. Young people, write this scripture down because this is one of the most important scriptures that I put into my heart. If you don't have this in your heart, write it down. If you haven't downloaded the Bible app, download the Bible app and write this. I used to write this on 3x5 cards. We didn't have, you know, the Bible app in our phone. And I would walk the floor at 21 years old with this scripture. I would walk the floor with this scripture and speak it out loud over my life. Let's read it again. Start at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, if you don't keep the word close to you, the worry will be close to you. If you don't keep the word close to you, the world will be close to you. If you don't keep the word close to you, trouble will be close to you. Amen? For they are life, watch this, to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Watch this, for out of it flows the issues of life. That word issues is the borders of life. Have you ever met somebody who's really been hurt when they were young? I mean, in a way that isn't fair. You know what I'm talking about. And they've been so beat down, and now there's just poison in their life. They're so angry. They're so frustrated. Pastor, what's the answer for that? You know, Jesus can heal that. The Bible says that Jesus can take out the broken heart, the poisoned heart, the heart that was bitter, and he can put in a new heart. He can take out the heart of stone and put in a tender heart, a heart of flesh. I used to be so hard-hearted. I used to have no respect for God. No respect. But God changed my heart. He changed my heart. But your heart doesn't stay connected to God. It'll wander off, right? But that's the heart of a winner. Let's all stand together. That's the heart of a winner. And I want to tell you today that this life is not a sprint. It really is a marathon. And you just need to get up every day. And I want to talk to you today, and I want to give you an opportunity to get a new heart from God.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. For more sermons by Pastor David Whaley, visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.